to a certain extent, we all live in an almost constant state of confusion because the world is so big and so complicated, and trying to make sense of everything, I mean, it's daunting. I don't even know if it's intellectually possible. I'm going to say just my intuition is that it isn't. It isn't possible. So what do we do with the acceptance that we just live with that certain amount of confusion?
This is Way of the Artist with Brandon Colby Cook and Evan Schulte.
Exploring the challenges of the creative call.
So that you can claim your own path.
And make your life a work of art.
Well, let's just jump into this one. Whatever this one is, whatever this one will be. We'll find out. We're diving into this. I don't need to keep saying this. Just repeat myself over and over and over again. Wouldn't that be an entertaining podcast? Well, there's been one thing recently that I've been thinking about. And so maybe this can turn into something here. Something I've been thinking about over the last couple of days is this idea of there's a single process and there's a single relationship. And to give that context, I was thinking about a lot of the rhetoric that I see out there right now with there's the US election coming up. I mean, we're based in Canada, but we're neighbors, and so we get, you know, we're right across the street from the circus, right? We're we kind of are looking across the street and like, what the hell's going on over there? And so we're saturated with a lot of this stuff and exposed to a lot of it, and so it's always a big deal. And something for me that always seems so strange that, you know, there's this real, you know, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, and it's always sort of like, you know, you're a Democrat, the Republicans are the bad guy, and the Republicans are pointing, you're the bad guys. I don't want to turn this into a political discussion. I have zero interest in talking about politics, but the thing that it got me thinking about is that whole idea of, well, that's an other, like these things are somehow exist on their own island in their own vacuum, right? And the problem is over there, the people in that vacuum. But my thing is that, like, well, that doesn't exist. That's not like Democrat, Republican is one process, right? That's one relationship that's going on there, right? And I've been in a loose sort of way thinking about, like, well, how many other places does that exist? Which I think is probably in most places. But this idea of removing this concept of separation and seeing that this is all one thing, this is all one movement, and you can see where these two seemingly different sides are actually very often involved in playing the exact same game, just in a different kind of way. And that they're each essential. They're each essential for balance or harmony or whatever. As opposed to thinking about it as a right and wrong type of a scenario. So that's something that's just been on my mind the last couple of days. I don't know if that sparks anything for you, Brandon, or if it gets any juices going on your end of things, or maybe you just want to just like smack that one down as be like, no, Evan, we're talking about something different.
Well, one of the big things I've found in story is the idea of inextricably bonded characters. And when we're talking about something like this, I mean, it's the perfect example of inextricably bonded. I mean, if you look at the Batman and Joker, one of the reasons why they're such iconic and great good guy, bad guy scenario is because they are somehow inextricably bonded, right? So something I found in story that's interesting is like when you have an idea, you should always revisit it. And this has like become a principle of storytelling for me. So, for example, we have a character, we created a story, and at the end of the story, I'm not going to tell which one it is, might give it away, but if you know us well enough, maybe you can figure it out. There you go, there's a game for you. Anyway, the character burns down like all the bad guys in the end, right? Like that's the, lights them all on fire, it's like a big thing, it's pretty cool, pretty epic ending, right? And as I was working on it, I was working on character flaw, and it was like, well, if fire is the ultimate climactic moment, then making it the externally, then internally, it could be the most meaningful moment. So then I developed this story about how he has trauma and burns on his arms. So like as he scars, and he always wears long sleeves to hide them, so no one ever sees that he has these kind of scarred arms, and the trauma of actually experiencing fire as a child and not being able to save his other sibling. And he tried to reach in to get them and he couldn't do it and it burned him. And so he always felt like he should have done more. He should have gone further into the fire to get his sister or whatever. And yeah. And at the end he burns everybody down, which is like, there's transformative interconnectedness with that. Well, that's a bit of a different example, but the idea is that when you hate something, find out how you're inextricably bonded with it. Because there's something in you that makes it hateful. It's not like there's so much bad stuff that happens in the world, right? And we can be like, well, I hate it because it's bad. It's like, yeah, but you don't hate this other bad thing that much, not that way. So what's that about? And there's something, it's just telling. It's just telling that there's something actually inside of you that is either like being rejected, being denied, being, you know, something is happening. So when you, you know, you can look at politics, which I don't want to look at either, but I mean, look, just for an example, if you're a liberal and you hate Republicans, or if you're Republicans and you hate liberal, chances are there's something inside of you that is what you hate. And it is not being heard and it is not being nurtured and it's not being considered. And there is just this, like, I just reject that. So like, another way to look at it is like, my right arm is inextricably bonded with my left arm. But if I say, well, I'm right-handed and I just cut off my left arm, it's like, why? Like I hurt myself. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, this kind of side-taking and divisiveness thing that, you know, you're kind of bringing up. I mean, it's interesting, right? But I think if people saw that they were not as separate from things as they think they are, I think we'd have a lot of more peace and harmony in this world. And I think people would just be happier. And I think a lot of our arguments and divisiveness is, I think it's all bullshit. I think it's all, actually, I'll be as bold enough to say is I think it's all a big fucking lie. And I think people are full of shit most of the time. And like that's, and I know I've been full of shit. And I'm not saying I'm any different than anybody else. But one thing is I'll admit it and I'm aware of it. And I try to heal it and I try to correct it. And it gives me more peace and more harmony. And to try to understand people and to try to like see how you are actually just them from a different perspective and a different view. And aside from all the other bullshit that's going on, like good things get used for bad more often than bad things get used for good. And it should be the other way around. Meaning that when trauma and bullshit happens to you, which is, you know, a bad thing, you should transcend that shit, turn it into something good, turn it into a lesson, rise above it, use it for character, and grow. When good shit happens, that's what bad people use. They use utopias. They use dreams. They use visions of positive things, and they take it and they fucking tarnish it and make it bad. And the problem is people latch onto the good thing and deny that someone bad has taken it and ran with it. And that's the problem with divisiveness and side-taking. You pick your side and then you say, this is my side. And you got a corrupt fucking person or corrupt people running with your thing. Look at all the best bad guys. They usually start off with something good and then they fucking ruin it. And they take everybody with them down this bad path. And bad is seductive. It's something that comes at you inch by inch, millimeter by millimeter, just little bits. And all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're not a good person. It comes up with one little lie, one little theft, one little bullshit thing that you did that you lied and you justified. And pretty soon you do enough of that shit, you're a bad person. That's what a bad person is. People don't just wake up and go, I'm going to be a piece of shit. I know I'm swearing a lot, but I think the thing is that, like, yeah, storytelling has taught me, and I'll say this before I pass it on. Storytelling has taught me to look at the ugliness in human nature and to see how that went wrong. Because you have to understand the bad guys that you write. You have to understand the people that get lost in your story, right? And the people that do these things that, you know, you go, I would never do that. But you start to find a way in which it makes sense for them. And then good things happen in your story. Things come to life, right? And you can teeter with characters who are good as they teeter into the darkness. Right. And you can also have redemption arcs for characters as they've been dark, but then they begin to see why they need others, why they should be good. And, you know, yeah, man, it's a good talk. Fuck, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a great illustration of, I mean, in terms of bringing the artistic element of, you know, taking it a little bit out of that political framing and into the realm of art, because to me, art, one of the things that it can do so well is it can be a unifying thing. It can cut through the shit and take us to a place where we can connect, can take us to a ground where more of us can go, oh yeah, we can all agree on this, that this is not a good idea, or yeah, that's a good idea, or these are the kinds of things that we should, that we want to try and move towards, right? It can help bind us. And definitely through, you know, you're talking about story, and I mean, actors are storytellers, but I think of one of the first big lessons I remember in acting school that our old teacher, Nathaniel, taught us. And it was, yeah, it's like one that I remember is like, oh yeah, that was a big lesson for all actors to know was that you can't judge your character. Mm-hmm. You can't have a judgment about this person, because that judgment makes you less capable of portraying this person as in their full humanity, right? Because otherwise, if you have some sort of a judgment, even if they're a person who's doing a lot of bad things. You know, we've got our villains, we've got our enemies, and they're an essential part of storytelling. But it's very rare that you just have a character who's just some sort of like mustache twirling villain.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's not what we know about human beings. It's like, well, how did they get to this place? And like you said, it can be very often a type of character who is doing something because they think this is the right thing to do, right? And through one decision after another decision, maybe we don't even see that as an audience, but they've come to a place where they feel like even if they have to do something bad, it's like the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. by what they're doing. That's very often what a villain is. And finding a way to connect to that and understand this person is and bring compassion to it. Because to me, I often think of acting as being one of the ultimate arts in compassion. and empathy, because you need to. Yeah. You need to have those that capacity. And sometimes it can be difficult. You know, there's some pretty unsavory, I mean, in real life, there's really unsavory people. And in our mediums of storytelling, certainly there's really grotesque types of characters. But it is only through understanding that there's a more, that you create a complete picture of what's happening. Because you need to be free to try and see all things, which is part of a weird thing in our time right now, mm-hmm. is that I brought this up to you like a few weeks back. There's this term, I've never come across this in my entire life beforehand, and I've been seeing it pop up a lot recently. This comment of, oh, that person is both sidesing, however you say it, that, like, and it's such a bizarre comment, just from, you know, how I was trained as an actor, or even some time I spent in learning about journalism and how do you present a story? How do you create a picture and try and create an understanding of what's going on? Well, it involves trying to understand all sides of the story, mm-hmm. like different perspectives in what's going on. And you might still end up finding yourself on a side even after having done that. But unless you're actually able and free to look at both of them, you can't really intelligently pick which side you fall on, right? And you certainly aren't in a position to help resolve a problem if you don't understand where someone else is coming from, where you can say, hey, listen, I understand where you're coming from, but what you're doing is still not right. Mm-hmm. Or I still don't think that what you're doing is right. I think that you're on the wrong side of this equation, yeah. right? And if we lose that capacity to do that, like we see the fallouts of that now, where it's like everything is just kind of narrative warfare, mm-hmm. right? Where it's you can't even criticize certain things. You can't even point out a more nuanced picture of things without being labeled and being said is like, you're both sidesing. It's like, what a nothing to me. It's what a nothing thing to call somebody, because it's like, well, that's, you mean trying to have understanding and compassion and empathy about a situation and about all the people in this situation? That's, I mean, it's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is an interesting thing, that both sidesing. What a dumb fucking comment. Like, just dumb. Like, and the thing is, like, if you've done that, or like, if you're on the other end listening to this and you've done that, like, just forgive yourself and move on. Honestly, come on. Like, think a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, and anybody that does that to you, like, you know, I'm all about, like, arming people up with a little bit of wisdom and some fucking tenacity. Like, this world, man, is like, It can fucking take great people and just fucking level them if they're not careful. And great people are wise. Great people think outside the box. Great people challenge fucking ideas. And sometimes they're wrong, but they challenge them, and we need that. We want that. And good artists come in and they say, you know, I got a take on this a little bit different. Here's my take. Here's my approach. If artists didn't do that, we wouldn't have movies like Spinal Tap. We wouldn't have things like The Office. We wouldn't have stuff like that. Like, these are different approaches and ways of looking at something. And a lot of stories, you begin to find out, like, it's the same story. The idea isn't new, but the way it's done is new, or, you know, or the approach to it is new, or the feel or the genre of it is new. And no one's ever thought to filter it or frame it that way. And I think that it doesn't make them right or better, but, you know, it's in a unique perspective. I think the thing is also, like, you know, as far as this both sidesing thing, it's like, well, I think as an artist, if you're an actor, I don't know if it necessarily helps you to understand how everyone else is thinking and feeling. Like, I think you can kind of double down on your character, and you can kind of go into their flaw of them being very like self-involved in their world, and they think they're right and everything they're doing is right, particularly if they're a bad character, you know, because if you think about bad characters, they're usually quite self-involved. They're like, they're in their own world. Good characters tend to have a little bit more, they understand people, you know, not always, but ultimately these are qualities that we want, right? We don't want a one-sided person. What we want is a two-sided, three-sided, multi-sided person. We want somebody that kind of understands. I mean, I look at relationships, and all the most healthy relationships is like, you're going to bring two or three people together or whatever, and you're going to try to make them get along. I mean, that's like impossible. Nobody's the same. So if you have a relationship, that's both sidesing. It's how dumb to say that would be a bad thing. Like, your partner is going to see the world a little bit differently than you do. They're going to have different, some little nuances. And like, you want to understand them. You want to kind of make it make sense. You know, and then you take this into like politics, and you take this into other things. I mean, try to understand, you know, just, I think it's, we live in this world where, people can take advantage of you by getting you to fight for them. And I say, fucking throw down the arms, man. Like, throw down your arms. Don't throw down arms with people. Like, throw down your arms. Like, look for peace and harmony. Like, I know it's a very artisty thing to say, but like, first look for peace, look for harmony. Is there a way we can work this out? Like, for me, when I was in high school, I do wish I stood up for myself a little bit more, and I wish I knew how. So there is a time and a place to stand up for yourself, and I agree with that, and I think that's important. But, you know, usually someone would have to push me pretty hard before I'd get in a fight, and I had to get into a few fights. But also, I might have not had to get into fights. But part of it is being passive, 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 and then all of a sudden you get pushed too hard and you fucking snap back, you know? But you want to have boundaries, I think, with people. So like, people you don't understand, or people who, like, you know, there are unsavory people, as you put it, have boundaries. Like, it doesn't mean just like open your arms and love everybody and welcome them in. I mean, in a way, like love them, but like, it doesn't mean bring them into your vulnerable, you know, don't bring them into your safe space of your world, right? But draw boundaries and like tell people, hey, this is not okay. This is okay with me. You know, this, but it's you and it's your boundaries. But I think, you know, aside from that, try to understand, why does this person infringe on my boundaries? Like, what's going on for them that, like, you know, people just come from different worlds, and it doesn't make them a bad person. They just interpret the world differently, you know? So, I think the other thing too is, you know, while we're on this topic, another thing that I think, a big flaw in our entire way of interpreting the world and everything these days is, there's a thing called a fallacy. And for people to understand that, it's like when you have like flawed logic, and, a lot of people, they use what's called the straw man fallacy, which is that they go, they make that other person's argument like the weak version of their argument. So like, they basically, that person does something they don't like, and they go, oh, they did that because they're just a really shitty person that doesn't care about anybody. And that might not actually be true. That's like a very narrow, limited version of why they're doing what they're doing. To the steel man argument, which is to bolster it up, try and make it make sense in a way that isn't just like some casual, like, try and think it out, like, make it a strong version. Like, why would, if I was going to do that, why would I do that? And it's like, they don't think it affects other people. They think that this is okay. They think that, you know, maybe they think they're doing something good, you know, and you try to look at how they're doing, how they think they're doing something good, or they think they're doing something okay. Because then when you start to understand that, you can reach out to them and you say, you know, hey, you know, like, the other day you said this to me, and instead of coming out like, you're a shitty person and you don't love me, trying to say like, that actually, like, I don't know if you know this, but that actually hurt my feelings, and here's why. And also, like, I just didn't feel like you were very considerate of this one thing. they might go, oh shit, I didn't even realize that. You know what I mean? And if they don't, then you have some more information. But the thing is if you come at things with a kind of an idea of like try to understand them as opposed to judge them. Hey, yeah, man. I mean, there's like, but I feel like this is where artistry lives, right? Artistry lives in that area that is actually in this area of unknown, in this area of exploring. I don't think people are going to be very artistic when they're just in the I'm right, my way is the way, and everyone else is wrong. And if they do something I don't like, then they are just wrong because my way is obviously the way. I think that's why people don't experience their creativity. I think that's why they feel quite limited and restricted in life. And I think it affects other things, plays into all other areas of our lives.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that happens when an artist takes some sort of aside in something, and I don't like in like take some sort of a political stance, yeah. You know, where. Look, artists are people just like anybody else. And of course, artists have their opinions on things and what they think. But in many ways, I still always see the artist's role is again, trying to cut through and connect to something else. And if you're going to criticize something, you got to really criticize something elegantly, right? And that I think comes back to that whole thing of, well, that means trying to create a complete understanding of the whole picture and not just one side of the story. Because what so often happens when artists just take sort of a very rigid stance is the audience, the public that's taking it in often really just kind of has there's kind of an icky feeling that can happen with it, whereas just like, ooh, I don't know why you're doing this. You know, like I don't quite know why you're engaging in this conversation in this way, right? Because in a way, that's not what I want you to be doing, right? Like I'll just say this. There's one of the challenges about this is that it's like, look, I don't want to say that there should be a hindrance on anybody to express their thoughts and feelings around things, but I'm just commenting on something that I've noticed is that when very often an artist like takes a side on something, takes some sort of a political stance on something, there's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to that happening, you know, and it's like, well, that's not what I'm here for. Like I knew a few people who went and saw Roger Waters in his last tour doing concert, and I heard, and everybody I talked to who saw it just were so annoyed by it. Like they said, they were never going to go and see Roger Waters ever perform again because of this. Apparently at the start, before his concert started, there was like a big message down on the stage that said, if you don't like my politics, then get the fuck out. And people are here just like, I just want to hear your music, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting so much of this noise already out there, yeah. Especially today. I'm already getting everybody throwing their opinion and telling me what thing I should believe, what thing I should be taking a stand against. I want to come here and I want to listen to your music. Even though Roger Waters' music has always been making commentary on lots of social things and political things. But people are there for the music. And suddenly it's just like, I feel like I'm being attacked. I feel like I'm being propagandized. And maybe I agree with you even. But there's something else that I'm here for. I want you to actually take me to a different place, right? Where things aren't so hostile, where things aren't so crazy. I want you to help me make sense of this in a way that's human. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good comment. I think there is definitely a part of some artists, at least, where they feel like being an artist is somehow not contributing. It's not enough. Like I've definitely had this talk with people, like, where they go, well, you know, I'm just an actor, I'm just a writer, whatever. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, but you know, like, that you don't have to minimize yourself. Like it's okay to create joy. Like, that doesn't mean that you're somehow not serving us as a society, as a culture. Like, you know, politicians are not the best fucking people in the world. They're fucking some of the worst. Why would you want to be a politician? What are you trying to do? You know what I mean? Like, don't admire those people. I don't care who they are. I don't care what side they're on. They're not admirable people, man. They take money from fucking people, and then they don't even speak the truth half the time. They get information from you, find out what you care about and what's pissing you off, and then they tell you that to get you to vote for them. They're fucking puppets. They're like, most of them have no fucking integrity whatsoever. They're front men for other people who are making decisions. I mean, the whole idea of getting into, like, you know, my politics, like, propaganda is it's so powerful today. It's beyond anything we've ever experienced. And a lot of people don't even think it's happening. That's why it's so powerful. It's just so fucking powerful. And it's so integrated into our lives and the way that it's being presented to us that, like, we don't understand it. We don't even know it's happening, but it's happening all the time. And it's constantly someone telling you what to be pissed off about and then what to fight for and what to believe in. People fall for it all the time, and it's so frustrating when you're aware of it. And, like, they don't think it's happening, but it's totally happening. Like, watch the news. It's all propaganda. Like, it's not news. By the way, these aren't even reporters anymore. They don't go and get stories. They get told. They get a script, and they get given a script, and they said, read this on camera. You're a good-looking person. You have a good voice. Read it. And they do. They're not fucking telling you the truth. They're telling you what they're told to tell you. And who do you think made that decision? Somebody with money and power who's trying to move the world to fucking benefit themselves, not you. And if you're not a fucking business owner who's, like, running a multi-million or multi-billion dollar company, do you think they really give a fuck about you? And yet you're buying their propaganda and fighting their fucking fight. And they're telling you, oh, it's not our fault. It's this fault. It's your neighbor's fault. It's your neighbor because your neighbor believes this, and your neighbor thinks this guy's a good guy and he's not a good guy, obviously. And then you hate your neighbor. That's the fucking wrong choice, man. Like, man, it fucking fires me up because, like, I've fallen for it to some degree too. And when you realize you have, it really pisses you off, man. You wake up and you're like, holy fuck, you know? And I didn't even know until all of a sudden you start seeing it. And if you're depressed or you're fucking anxious or you're stressed, that is not normal. But we live in this culture where that's fucking normal. That is not normal, man. You should be living in peace and harmony, and you should be waking up every day feeling, like, fucking grateful to be alive. You should be walking out saying, like, everybody just wants to fucking love each other. Don't you? What was it like when you were a kid, man? I used to see kids on the play. I just wanted to play with them. They're collecting rocks. Let's collect rocks. I just fucking wanted to do it. That's what's natural. But we've been taught, oh, fight this person, believe that. It's all fucking bullshit. And so, like, you're an artist and you just want to play and imagine and bring some joy and let us escape for a while. That's fucking more true than some politician. So leave your politics out of it. Like, who cares? And if you believe whatever you believe, by all means. But, like, maybe that's not why I paid fucking $100 to come see you in a concert. And fucking respect that, because my $100 that I fucking worked for and whatever and dealt with all this fucking bullshit in this world, and I just want to be entertained because, you know, and maybe I brought my fucking kid with me. You know what I mean? And I just want to take my kid to a good thing, and now you're fucking jamming this down my throat? It's like, you know what, man? The whole world, this whole propaganda of the world today, the thing that pisses me off so much is because it's all war. And, like, I do agree that we got to stand for stuff and we got to fight for stuff. And we have to, you know, we have to make sure that bad people don't take advantage of good people. And I agree. And we should draw a line and we should have boundaries. And I'm all about that. But at the same time, I really just don't believe people want to fight. I don't really believe that's what people are about. I think people are misguided. They're misled. And when someone wants to fight me, my first question is to them is, what's wrong? Are you okay? And it usually fucking disarms people. Because really something is wrong with them. Because they don't need to fight me. I'm not your enemy, man. I want to understand you. I'll share a story. It makes me so fucking emotional because I was so ready to fight, you know, my card got broken into twice already in the city. And it was within 1 year. And I went to this party and I'll kind of give the Cole's notes, but I went to this party and I was just I was having this anxiety about parking downtown. Cause once your car gets broken into and stuff gets stolen, it's very violating. It's just a violating feeling. And it really pisses you off. And you come back and maybe some things that you left in there were taken from you. And, you know, it's just not a good feeling. And, one day I came back and I'm like, hey, I'm coming back at 11. I'm not going to stay any later. As I was coming back to my car, I'm walking up to it. I look over, I can see my car door open. I'm like, oh my God, I got broken into again. I was so pissed off. As I walk up to the door, I see a guy leaned into my car, pulling shit out. And I grabbed him by the collar of his neck and I slammed him against my door. And I said, put everything down. And he was in that, when I picked him up, I don't care if he was fucking twice my weight. Whatever was inside of me was ready to fucking destroy. And I pinned him against my door and I looked him in the eye and I said, what the fuck are you doing? Or something like that. I can't remember now. I wrote this down afterwards because it was so emotional. And he put everything down. And he's just, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. He's apologizing profusely. He's like, I'm just, you know, whatever. And then I looked in his eyes and the guy was he's a drug addict, right? Like a heroin addict, whatever. He's a bit older than me. And I was, what's going on, man? He's like, I'm sorry, man. This is embarrassing. And he's like, I'm like, well, why are you stealing from my car? And he was like, I have a drug problem and I was just trying to get a hit. And probably he's got real honest with me. In that moment, I saw myself. And that I've never gone down that path, but I remember my lowest moment. I remember when, I've talked about this in the podcast, being fucking depressed and life being pointless and, you know, maybe being careless and even self-destructive to some degree. And I saw myself, he's older than me, but I saw a younger version of me. And I just thought, you know, I could fucking smash this guy. I could fucking destroy him. And then I just looked at myself and I thought, what if someone came along and destroyed me? And people do that to each other. They fucking just destroy each other. And these people, a lot of people who do shitty things, they're in a low moment in their life and they don't even mean to hurt you. They're just hurting. And so anyway, whatever, I helped the guy out and I said, listen, I'll give you $10. You can go get high. You can go get some food and I want you to go get some food, but you do what you're going to do. And I'm going to give you my business card and you can call me if you want help. He's like, why are you doing this? I just told him, I see, I've been there. I don't know what it's like for you, but I've been in this moment. I know what it's like to be ashamed and embarrassed and doing things you don't want to do. But it doesn't have to, you can make a different choice. And anyway, he thanked me and he put all my stuff down and we parted ways. And he actually showed me by the way, how'd you break into my car? And he showed me how he did it. So I was like, okay, good. Now I know what's going on here. But anyway, my point is that, we can fight and sometimes maybe we need to, maybe there's a place for that, but I don't think that's what we want. I really don't think, I think most of us are just calling out for help. And then if somebody actually comes along and says, hey, I'll help you, it fucking changes your life, So anyway, There's my speech.
Oh my God. How do I follow up that? I mean, I've been jotting some stuff down because there's lots of things that you brought up that I wanted to comment on. And so where to start? One thing I wanted just as a quick thing that I wanted to bring up, you know, it's like, I don't think that like all politicians are necessarily bad people. I think a lot of people get into politics are very good people. It seems to me that what tends to happen is that basically the higher up you go, the worse it gets. The higher up you go, the more bullshit is being fed. I think at a low levels, you've got really good, honest people who are trying to do good things. But you know, the higher up you go, the more power you get, the more exposed you are. Which is an interesting thing. You know, you think that like, oh, the more power you get, the more you can do. But the more power you get, the more exposed you are to other influences and other power, you know. And that can bring you to a place where you have to compromise, you know, and so the more nonsense ends up coming out of you, right? And you mentioned another thing about, you know, anxiety and why we're, you know, like, why are we anxious? Why are you anxious? And one thing that I mean, things like, well, anxiety, I think, is a perfectly normal response to so much of what we're exposed to and what our lives are like. I think it's a completely natural, normal response to the state of how so many things are, right? And the other thing was also you're talking about like the straw man and the steel man thing as well, which is something that it's like, it's interesting because most people, it's as far as like the fallacy goes, right? Because the steel man isn't a fallacy. Interesting how that works. Yeah. The steel man is not a fallacy. The straw man is a fallacy because yeah, you're essentially putting up a, you know, you think of what a straw man is. It's not a real person. It's not a fleshed out thing. It's a hollow, shelled out, like copy of something that you're putting up a shit version of someone's argument or position, so that you can take it down, right? Because it's easier to do that way, to make your own point seem strong, right? But the interesting thing about that is it actually doesn't make your point stronger because it's a straw man, right? Because it's like, well, hang on a second. You're not actually accurately defining what this other person's position is. So you're actually subverting your own idea. You're actually subverting your own belief. Whereas a steel man actually does the opposite thing. When you can hold somebody else's position up in its best light, even maybe making some good points about it, right? Like points that actually even make sense. But if you can hold that up there and be like, hey, I understand where this person is coming from and why they think this way. And here are the best reasons to think this way. Here's why I still disagree, mm-hmm. right? And when you can do that, when you can hold up the best argument from your quote unquote opponent, but then you can make a better point, your position is so much stronger, right? And you're so much more persuasive when you can do that, mm-hmm. right? Because you're like, hey, look, these are some ideas. These sound like some really great ideas. There might actually even be some good ideas that could change some of how I think about this. But here's where I still think that there's some problems here. I have a problem with this and I have a problem with that. And I think that this, and this are actually a better response to this thing that we're talking about. And, you know, people are pretty smart and we can go, oh, holy shit. Yeah, I think that, you know, if you're well-reasoned enough in holding, like, people will come, mm-hmm. you know, people will come along and say like, yeah, like we still in general, you know, like the truth will out, right? Like, and the best ideas typically do eventually win out the day, right? But the way in which we can actually expedite that process and we can actually get to those better things sooner is not by making the person that we disagree with, by not lowering them, by not putting them into a weaker position, right? Because, you know, that's like that whole thing of, you know, love your enemy, right? Or just even having respect for your enemy. Why? Because coming back to that whole thing of, this isn't two separate entities in a vacuum. You are so linked to each other, mm-hmm. right? Because you have this position, and when you bring those things together, especially when you bring them together in a respectful way, that's where learning and growth occurs, mm-hmm. right? You love your enemy because your enemy is the one who's most likely to show you where you may be mistaken, mm-hmm. or show you where you maybe have some flaws, right? Or some things that you haven't thought through. They're the best person to actually teach you about where you are, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Right? But that only comes through respect and in a way understanding that these I'm trying to find a different way of putting some different language around it, but by understanding that this thing that you are in a dance with each other, right? Like, and both of you are necessary in this dialogue that you're having, that's the only way in which this thing can happen. And that, I don't know, but, there was something else, Brandon, you said, and I didn't write it down. And it was this thing, I think it had something about choice, you know, like it was something about around choice, but maybe it'll come back to me. But anyhow, I feel like I've said enough and I've covered enough ground in response to everything you just said.
Well, you know, this has been an interesting conversation, and it's obviously fired me up pretty much a lot. I agree with you on the politician thing. I I'm not going to say all politicians are like just puppets and shallow people. I actually agree. I think there's most people who get into politics are actually very well-intended and they're doing really well. I think it's more the heads of political parties and things where things get a little funky. I think that, you know, there's a lot of money and power that gets involved in all of that. And it just, things get a little funny. So I don't know, like you have a comment, go ahead.
Yeah. I had written this down. So it was coming back to this thing, you know, in your very, you know, and I appreciate the vulnerability and emotion that you brought to what you were saying. And one thing just kind of coming back to, I said, well, how do we see this as one thing and not separate things? Because it's another way in which we can play this game where we say, oh, well, these people with the power, you know, and we put them out there. And so my sort of challenge, I suppose, to that is like, okay, so, but what is it about that's making us upset? How are we in relationship to that thing? And that doesn't mean we don't speak truth to power, right? And that we don't call out abuses and corruption, you know, and lies when they're coming up, right? But what is it about, you know, when you see yourself, as you're saying in the story about this guy who's breaking into your car, how do we look at these people who are in these positions of power, who are, you know, lying to us. And we know that they're lying to us, right? We know, like some part of us knows that there's like, you're not being honest about what you're doing, but for whatever reason, because I'm too tired, because I have too many other immediate concerns with my family, my job, just, you know, my bills, my whatever it is, just living your own life. I don't have the time or the energy to deal with this, mm-hmm. right? But I know that you're lying, right? But how do we look at that person and say like, okay, but this isn't, I'm here and you're there. And how is this, do we see that this is one thing, this is one process? How do we see ourselves in that? How do we see, and what about that gets us so animated? Because, you know, you're definitely not the first and last person by any means who is going to rail against sort of the powers that be. You know, this is like people have always said like, it's these people and it's the, you know, like, and hey, don't get me wrong. People in positions of power have the ability to exert, there's that asymmetry gives certain people more influence and the capacity to have more effect in the world. So I don't want to like say it's like, oh, you know, the ordinary Joe and the, you know,
yeah,
and like the leaders of countries are, you know, oh, we're the same. I mean, on some level we are the same,
yeah.
Right? But what is the connecting thread, and what is it about people in power that can make us so emotional, so upset? Mm-hmm. And that was sort of my question. How do we find that unity with that? Or how can we see, what is it that they're reflecting back to us that maybe be about us as well? Hey everybody, this is Evan, and this episode is brought to you by my book. Yes, I recently released a book called The Actor's Awakening, Connecting Spirituality to Craft. Expand yourself as an actor and your craft through a spiritual perspective. Take a journey that will explore universal philosophies and insights to help you understand human nature in a profound way and develop practices to take your work to another level. Again, that's The Actor's Awakening, Connecting Spirituality to Craft, available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon. And as always, if you like the show, please subscribe.
So it's interesting in the sense that I study a lot of psychology. I actually still study a fair amount of it, but one thing is that people tend to, one of the things that they encountered through psychology, just testing and asking people, is most people think that their family is better than most families. It's just a weird little thing that we all do. We just think that the way that we grew up in our family was better than what most people got, even if it's not. We just think it is. And there's something interesting about that. It's kind of like, because we're used to it, because it was the first thing we were presented with, we just think it's the best. And so when I think of, like, you know, you talk about that, like, people in power comment you just made, it's like people in power are kind of like our parents, you know, in a certain way. Like, they're in charge of things that we're not in charge of, and they get to make decisions that we don't get to make. And, you know, you know, in some ways, like, politicians are kind of like the parents in a country. I mean, they kind of are like that, right? And it's like, when you kind of have picked your side, you're kind of like saying, well, this is what I know, this is what I believe in, you know? And it's like, I think the thing is, it's problematic in the sense that you don't know it's the best. You just think it's the best because it's comfortable. And I you know, I would challenge anybody, like, whatever your political beliefs are, is that, you know, you kind of step back from, like, well, this is what I believe, this is what everyone believes, and this is what's right. And, like, you know, just just take a step back, because the problem is like, no matter what, where you stand politically, and I would argue the more you're on a side, the worse it is for you. Whatever side, it doesn't matter. Like, go right, left, center, whatever. But like being central is more of a both-sidedness thing, you know, that's going on, where it's like, well, you know, I see what the left says. I see what the right says. I see what, you know, the up and down says. Like, I don't fucking care, right? But I see what people are saying. I get it. And, you know, and like, not to bring politics into it, but like, you know, a more left approach is like, hey, well, we have credit on our credit card, so let's spend some credit and let's just take care of this now, but we'll have to pay the debt later. And then there's other people that are like, well, no, we haven't earned that money yet. Let's not spend that money. Let's only spend what we've saved. And actually, let's try and pay down the credit that we've been racking up for the past, whatever, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, so on. And so then these are like, this is like parents, your parents having an argument saying like, one parent's like, let's just put it on the credit card. It'll be fine. We'll put it on the credit card. We'll pay it off later. It'll be fine. The other parent's like, no, we put it on the credit card the last time. We put it on the credit card the last time. Now that's why we're in this fucking mess. And they're having a fight, and you're a child watching this, and you like one parent more than the other. And you're saying, well, mommy's right or daddy's right. And I mean, that's basically what's going on here. And, you know, right now when you're a kid and they're saying, put it on the credit card, you might be saying, hey, you know, I get candy and toys right now and I want that. Sure you do. It's going to make your life real nice. But when it's time comes to college, when time comes to, you know, doing things that you want to do later in your life, your family's going to be in debt because they bought you all the toys and the candy when you were young. And now you're going to have to pay for that, and you're not going to get the nice things when you're older. So are you okay with that? But you don't know that because you're a kid and you're not really thinking about it. So you just want the candy now and the toys now. This, you know, there's another approach to life, which is that it's a little bit like, hey, let's try to like look at the future a little bit. Like, we're being careless right now in this moment. And if you look at politics, it's a lot of that. That's a lot of what's going on. People don't understand like national debt and stuff like that, but that's what that's about, right? Analogies are great because they help people begin to understand what's going on. It's not that one person's bad and one person's good. One person's trying to create peace and ease right now. The other person's trying to create peace and ease later. And yes, they have a few different beliefs and whatever, but ultimately, like, it's, you know, those things do matter. But the problem is we're fighting a lot about stuff where we're not really understanding each side, and you know, it's problematic. The other thing is, I just want to say this from a creative side. You know, when you're writing a story, if your story's boring and it's not working or whatever, and people aren't interested, or it just doesn't sing like you'd like it to sing, I promise you, make the bad guy badder. Make him better. Make him stronger. Not badder, but stronger. Make him better. Build him up. Bolster him up. Whatever it is, even if it's not a person, even if it's an entity or like an environmental struggle or whatever it might be that your character's up against, make it bigger, make it stronger, make it more, because that will push your character to have to rise up to the challenge, which is way more interesting. One of the big things I noticed, and I did this myself as a screenwriter and storyteller early on, was I made my bad guys too weak. I made my antagonist force too weak, and it just kind of makes your story, like, waters it down, makes it kind of boring. So what I say is, like, amp it up. And the other thing is like, I think how this relates is, you know, we're talking about that straw man fallacy versus, like, you know, steel manning someone's argument. When you steel man someone's argument, meaning that you really try to make sense of it, you really try to give them a leg to stand on, you really try to go, I see where you're coming from. That's like, then you rise up to meet that. That's like a great character and a great story. If you use the fallacy, which is not even, it's flawed logic and it doesn't work anyway. When you strawman someone's argument, the only people that agree with you are people who already agree with you. The people who don't agree with you aren't going to be sold, because I'm like, yeah, but you didn't touch on this point. You didn't hit on the points that matter. And so they're not going to be won over. So you're not winning anyone over, but maybe you feel good because you feel like you won, and you didn't win shit. You won a participation award. So don't do it. It's a silly move, but people do it all the time. And so I thought I'd throw that in. Anyway, you know what? I think at the end of the day, you know, I think the moral of the story, honestly, Evan, is that I think you and I constantly are arguing for a kind of peace and harmony and understanding and connectedness. I feel like that's a big thing, and we've been on that a lot recently, especially, I mean, it makes sense considering the times that we're in, considering the way the world has gone and how powerful media has become and propaganda has become and how social media has influenced and just created such divides and weird things, and, you know, and maybe it's always been there, but it's more evident. It's more on the surface because it's more accessible for everybody. It can get people, like, you just turn on your phone and you can get fired up, right? Like, it never used to be like that. Now it's just like, you know, you're sitting on the toilet, all of a sudden you're angry about something. You know, it's like, it wasn't like that before. So it's just, it's so accessible. The fight is so accessible. So I think that, you know, part of this conversation for me is that, you know, in our real lives, I think it'd be great if we kind of understood each other more and we had more compassion and kind of wisdom and understanding. In our creative lives, fucking have at it, man. Pick a side and run, you know, pick a side and fight. That's fun. That's part of creativity, right? But, you know, it's play. It's play. But this is, you know, in real life, you have to live with yourself, and you're the one that's stressed out, and you're the one that's anxious, and you're the one that's fucking living in fucking turmoil. So, you know, you could do that for fun in your creativity. Like, it's great to put characters through turmoil and creativity, but like, why do that in your own life? You know, why do it any more than you need to? Guaranteed there's going to be something you're going to have to fight for, or something you're going to have to do anyway. So why amplify it? And just the word to the wise and a little piece of advice, take it as you will. Be very careful about fighting other people's fights. That is something that I would tell anybody. You know, it's something I wish that I learned when I was younger, is just don't let people get you all caught up in their drama. Just be real fucking mindful of that one. Because, yeah, people will get you riled right up, and then, you know, out of loyalty or some type of belief, you know, you think you're standing up for them, you think you're doing the good thing, all of a sudden they got you, and they're fucking pulling you along into some drama or some bullshit, and you think you need to fight with them for it. And anytime anybody's trying to ask me to fight about something, I always take a breath and I go, is this, do I care? First of all, do I care? And do I want to put my energy here? And I look at energy as a limited resource. I have an infinite amount of it inside of me, but it's a limited resource in how much I can use it and how much time I have. And it does deplete over the course of a day or a week or a month or a year or whatever. So do I really want to put my valuable, precious energy and time into this? And if I don't, I say, you know, good luck. And if you need some advice, you know, or a sounding board, I'm here for you. I care about you. That's about it. But I'm not going to get fired up about that. I'm fired up about a screenplay I'm writing. I'm fired up about the movie I'm making. I'm fired up about this new relationship I have. I'm fired up with my friends. I'm fired up about fucking traveling. I'm fired up about some cool shit. I'm not fired up about some fucking fight about some bullshit I could give a shit about, you know, that is some drama. Forget it. You know, my life is happening, and it's not happening there. I'll tell you that. And people go, oh, you don't care. You're not invested in what's going on in the world. What good are you doing? Honestly, are you doing anything? Are you moving anybody? Are you shifting any opinions? Are you fucking writing essays and arguments that are being published in articles that people can review? Or are you just making fucking Facebook posts and Twitter posts and calling yourself a fucking like fighter? You're not, you know, you're not, you're just adding to the fuel of drama. And it is drama, and that's it. It is not getting anywhere. And the only people that are hearing you a lot of the time, if you're in that world, is people that already agree with you. So who gives a shit? They already agree. Who gives a shit? Let them go off and agree and do whatever, you know? And like, you know, I don't know, man. I just think like life's too short to be stressed out, anxious, and worried all the time and be fighting fights that don't even matter in the scheme of your life. And that's a lot of what this conversation has been for me, man. That's a lot of what it's been. So I don't know what it's been for you, but we'll talk about beer in a sec, but I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I mean, we could probably just talk beer, go on and on with so many of these and keep pulling at a lot of these different threads and, you know, do it Joe Rogan style for 3 hours, but we don't have that kind of time today. So, I mean, I feel like there was something that I was going to say along the lines of confusion. I can't exactly trace back to what it was, but it has something to do with confusion. And, you know, the challenge that we all have is that to a certain extent, we all live in an almost constant state of confusion because the world is so big and so complicated, and trying to make sense of everything, I mean, it's daunting. I don't even know if it's intellectually possible. I'm going to say just my intuition is that it isn't. It isn't possible. So what do we do with the acceptance that we just live with that certain amount of confusion? And I think where that propels us to is having to give up our sense of what we think we know, right? And not being so rigid and even fundamentalist with our views on things, with accepting a certain degree of not knowing, so that we can move into a realm that's one of more open curiosity. Because that gives us a better spot to try and meet and understand the things that we don't know more fully, right? So that we might actually develop more of an understanding. But the more rigid we become, the more confusing things are, I think. And, you know, I think that, you know, and you mentioned something about, you know, how very much, you know, we talk about, yeah, like peace and harmony and yeah, of course, that's where, if you talk to most people, they would say they want that too, right? Like I've brought this up many times on this podcast, but an exercise I love doing with actors is I take them through this thing of like, well, what do you want, right? And like, imagine, you know, some sort of a situation where it's like, you know, I've run into you 2 years from now and what's going on in your life and what do you want? Getting a real sort of visceral understanding of what that thing is that you want in your life. And then just going, why that, right? Okay. And then answer that. And then why that? You keep asking why that. And when you get to the bottom of it, right? Because I've done this exercise with, you know, hundreds of people, maybe thousands, I don't know. And I don't force anybody to share that with anybody. It's like you can keep that private. And in some ways, I almost encourage people to keep it for themselves. But the few people who have shared with me what they came to, it's like, it kind of is a, like, it always comes down to, I want peace, I want harmony, I want to just feel okay. I just want to feel like it comes down to some pretty similar things. You know, they're all these things that are in the same wheelhouse. And that's the place where I think we meet, and we have to continue to strive to find each other there, to find one another in that place of, where do we meet here? You know, beyond beyond our concepts of what we think things are, you know, but we show up and I think we bring our experience of life and the place where we have passion and fire, you know, like that's where we need to go. And that's what we give voice to, right? And very often that has to do with a place where we have pain, a place where we've suffered, because what we've learned about that pain, what we've learned about that suffering, and how we've learned to move through it, how we've learned to overcome it even, right? Those are incredible things to share with people, right? That's something that, to a certain degree, we can speak to that thing, right? And is maybe the most important thing that we can speak to, because otherwise everything else is just something, again, it's just an idea we have about something, or an idea that someone else gave us that like, you're supposed to care about this and you're, you know, and where we really connect to each other is through the heart, right? And again, that's to me where the highest forms of art go. It transcends all of the concepts of things. It cuts through to that place where we can meet. And I feel like I was just on the verge of something there to wrap that up in a nice tight little sort of bow. But the heart, that heart thing, because that's really where we create movement. That's really where we create motion, you know, and so often if we're just trying to appeal to concepts and intellect all the time, we just keep going round and round and round and round in circles. But you connect to the heart of somebody. It's just like, hey, look, I don't know about all of this shit. I don't understand about so many things about this shit. I am confused about so much of this shit. But I know something about this because I've lived this, because I've felt this, and because I've really actually had to go on a journey, on an odyssey with this thing deeply, personally. And this is what I can say about it. And maybe you touch on someone else's, you ignite something and someone goes, oh my God, fuck, somebody said it, or somebody's speaking to this thing. And you can really create positive change there, because you're alleviating suffering, you're alleviating pain, or you're addressing those things in some kind of way, in a meaningful way. And I mean, I think that's where, I don't know, that's where we've got to go.
Well, you know, I will say that, like, I do think adversity is necessary in life. I think you need to have challenges, you need to have obstacles, you need to have difficult things. And if you don't, and life is really comfortable and it's easy, it's like too easy. Like, I think there's something you might be looking at where it's like, hey, maybe I'm actually destroying myself. Like I think there's kind of two signs of self-destruction. One is more what people think it is, which is like, I'm really in a bad place. Like things are really just like my life's falling apart. And you know, it's like this rock bottom feeling, you know, this thing of like bad things are happening. It's hurting. You know, that's when people think they're destroying their lives. But like, you can also be destroying your lives when things are just too comfortable. Like you're so satiated, like you have no desire, like you want for nothing, like that type of stuff. As there's something that's good about it, and there's something that's extremely dangerous about it. You know, it can lead you down a very, very dark path. You know, and I think there's a, you know, it's like all you eat is sugar, you rot your teeth out, you know, like rot them right out of your head. You know, all you eat is this bad food, you know, you're going to put on all this weight, like all this bad stuff's going to happen. It's not going to be good for your heart. It's not going to be good for your body. You know, it tastes good. Sure. You know, you can have as much as you want, but there's a certain amount where you need to say like no to a good thing. And, I think you know, we talked about this briefly. It was like almost skipped over, but, you know, being thankful for your enemies, or, you know, being grateful for them. Like, if you kind of understand that, like, life's a big play, I think that's important. I think it's good to look at that, because the people who disagree with you help you to clarify. They help you to actually, like, you know, make a stand for things that you believe in. And, like, I think being a wise person is kind of being like, okay, like, I could be wrong. I could be wrong about this. So as I begin to look into it, let me, you know, let me debate. And one of the problems where, oof, this is going to be a touchy comment. I just know it. A wise person is usually slower to the draw, because what happens is when someone gives them a argument or an idea that's counter, if they haven't yet thought it out, they usually will walk away with it and think about it and consider it and kind of work it out. And if that other person was right, they'll be like, you know what? I see something about that I didn't see before. And if they were wrong, then they'll kind of bolster their argument. They'll figure it out and they'll come back to that person. Whereas more ignorant people tend to be like, I already know it. And they don't know that they don't know it. So they just assume they know it and they kind of jump on it, and they can be more aggressive in arguments. And so there's a tendency for us to lean into like more ignorant arguing, where we just kind of like, I just want to be right. I just want to get them now. I want to top this conversation and walk away and be the winner. And that's dumb. Most often quite dumb, because you actually aren't right. And you just, maybe you prove someone something dumb, like wrong. Why would you want to do that? And like, you assume you're right, but you don't. And the problem with ignorance is that we don't know we're ignorant when we're ignorant. And we often don't know we're arrogant when we're arrogant. And like, most of us don't want to be ignorant or arrogant. But the thing is that you usually don't know when you are. And that's kind of the problem. You know, you have something to say, I'll cross you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think to a certain degree, we can all accept that we're always kind of ignorant at all times. And so that's one sort of remedy to it. And as far as the arrogant thing, I mean, I think they go almost hand in hand, where you go, it's like, okay, so if I am ignorant about most things, that there's always some piece of the picture that I'm not seeing, you know, that I'm never fully seeing the picture of things, the full picture of things, at least not intellectually, then that means I have no reason to be arrogant about anything, which makes me receptive to hearing what other people have to say, but also gives me the power to be inquisitive and probing on where someone else is standing too, right? And where they might be at. And just one other thing I'll share, and we should probably wrap this one up here. It's something that occurred to me as far as like the whole thing of what your enemies do for you, right? And it was like, you know, your enemies actually help cut through all of your propaganda. Whatever propaganda you might be living with, they help. A good one, a good enemy will help cut through all of that shit for you to get to what are the things that you actually really believe, and what are the things that you have actually really thought out, right? Or felt out, or really truly experienced. They help you get to the core of where are you actually strongest, right? Where are you weakest and where are you strongest, right? But they, and in that way, we can have so much gratitude for our enemies, right? Because it's like, whoa, you're helping me cut through all of the conditioning and propaganda that's been put on to me, and helping me do away with that so that I am in a better position to receive whatever is true, for lack of a better term. So, you want one more comment and then...
Okay, one more comment and then beer. And then we're wrapping this baby up. We have really... Like, this is one of those months. You pull a string and you just keep pulling it and it doesn't end. So we have to call it at a certain point. Obviously, Evan and I could go on and on here. One thing is interesting about what you said there. I just want to comment on this. I'm literally writing a story that is exactly what you just said. This character, the main character, is the one that's been propagandized, is the one that's lost, is the one that's ignorant, believes they're right, is setting, and as an audience, you're positioned with them to believe that they know. And then the character, and I shared this on the last podcast, I think, was the character who seems like the bad guy is the one that exposes the truth and actually leads them on the real journey that the movie's about. But if they weren't open, well, I mean, they're not open, but if they didn't at some point at least crack through the shell of their arrogance and ignorance, they wouldn't have seen the truth and they would have carried on their problematic way that they were on. But our character is very flawed in the beginning of this story. And that's what makes this story so fucking great. And I'm so excited about it because of that reason. And because I believe that's a big part of our human journey, is that sometimes someone we perceive as an enemy might be our best friend and might be our hugest ally. But because we've decided we're right and they're wrong, we position them as enemy and then we just fight. And they might be the answer. They might be the actual solution to your breakthrough in life. And so if you're listening to this and any of this is connecting with you, I mean, consider that. You know, sometimes the people you think are the baddies are actually not so bad in the way that you think they are. I'm not saying they're always nice about it, though. Okay, so here's my beer. I brought this one. I was excited about this, Evan, and I think I hope you like it, because I definitely was like, I'd be surprised if you didn't. This is from Tofino Brewing Company. It's called their Ethereal IPA, 6.7% alcohol, although I don't think you'd taste it because it's so flavorful. Little story about this beer. I love it, but little story about this beer. I picked it up. I like the can. It was kind of nice and just looks like a nice sunset, which kind of like appealed to me. But my mom doesn't drink beer, like ever. And every once in a while, she'll have like a light beer. And when I was grabbing it, she was visiting. She's like, why don't you just grab one of these light beers? I won't name the ones she picked. But she's like, why don't you just grab one of these very common commercial beers? I was like, no, I want a craft beer. And then she had one. And she was like, this is the best beer I've ever had in my life. And like, honestly, I I'm not going to say it's the best beer I've ever had in my life, but to me, it was like, this is a good beer. This is a real tasty, nice beer. And so, I cracked. My mom had craft beer and was like, this is good. I could do it. Anyway, if it's a beer that can make my mom like beer, then I'm going to tell the audience, hey, Tofino Brewing Company, by the way, you made a beer my mom thinks is the favorite of all beers. So at least, I don't know how many she's had, but honestly, like, you won her over and you won me over. So anyway, Evan, what do you think?
It's fantastic. Like, the first sip I had, I was like, oh yeah, this is great. And I'm also a huge fan of Tofino's blonde ale, and has always been a favorite of mine as well. And I haven't had this one. It's amazing. That's such a great story about your mom, that she was like, this is the best beer I've ever had, especially because it's an IPA.
Yeah,
totally. Too, you know, because like, no, like, let's not make any sort of, like, let's not make light of this thing. Like, this is an IPA.
And it's
6.7%, but it is definitely an IPA. It is hoppy, right? But it's got a richness to it and a mellowness to it that just, like, it's got a beautiful balance to it. And it's like, yeah, it's really good. Really good, and I've been enjoying it. So,
you want your final thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll try and just, you know, I don't even know what I got to say about this one necessarily, but, you know, just coming back, I at the end, I always love coming back to where it began, the whole thing. And this idea that, yeah, like, this is all, there's no vacuums, there's no separation of things. Everything is in a single process. Everything is in a single relationship. Creativity is very much like that way. There's nothing, it's all a process, mm-hmm. right? Nothing just stands alone. Everything is just around it and connected and you know, one thing that leads to this thing that leads to that thing that leads back to this thing that, you know, like there's, it's, that is, seems to be the nature of things. And what does that inform us in terms of how we go about in the world? And just in terms of helping us to reframe our ideas around who our enemies are, you know, and people who disagree with us have a different point of view than us. And through a deeper understanding that there's something important that's happening there. It's not because that's part of if you follow sort of that thing all the way to its end, it leads to, well, then we have to just destroy these people. Right? That's where it leads. If you follow it really step by step by step, well, what happens with these people who disagree with you and they're just wrong and you're just in the right and they're just in the wrong and there's no need to try and understand them? Or where does that lead? It's like, well, we just need to get this person. Okay, so when that person gets in power, then what? Because these people are still going to be there. Well, then what we have to do is, it's like, okay, but what if they still don't come along with you on that? What if they still disagree with you? Well, then we have to, you know, put them somewhere, right? Oh, okay, so now we're putting people in fucking camps, right? Like, that's kind of what you're starting to say. It's like, okay, but these people are still there and they're probably going to start revolting and they're probably going to get upset at some point. They're probably going to, you know, in fighting. So now what do you do? Well, fuck them. We don't need them. Just get rid of them, right? That's where it goes. Yeah. That's where it lands. Is that peace? Is that harmony? Is that what you want? We need to keep finding the places where we connect. We need to keep finding the places where our humanity is shared. And the recognition that that person is not separate from me. They are one of my greatest teachers. We need to have reverence for these people in a way, right? This is not saying that there might not be things that this person believes or thinks or says that aren't truly grotesque, right? But the way in which we respond to that says so much about where we are and who we are. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to try and create something better, we need to listen. And again, we need to have reverence for those critics. We need to have reverence for those people who oppose us, because they help us to become clearer, stronger, to develop more understanding and help us to actually come together. Mm. Right? Because there's no coming together unless there's something that somewhat stands opposed, right? Because otherwise we're already there.
Yeah.
Right? Which is great, you know, that's nice too. But it shows us where we still need to go and where we can still learn. And that only comes through that empathy, that compassion, and that understanding that we're part of one thing together.
Hmm. Well, I like what you brought out, and I think it's really good to acknowledge that the way we're conducting ourselves leads to a very destructive place. And I think that's a good way for you to see if, like, the way you're thinking is problematic. Follow it to its end. You know, you pointed this out to me. Like, I remember this was like 7 or 8 years ago. I remember you pointed out to me, and this was a big one, was that the ego ultimately leads to destroy yourself. Just kill yourself. That's what the ego ultimately will lead to. And unless it's being satiated, unless it's getting exactly what it wants. And the ego is such an elusive little weird thing. And it kind of, when you think you got rid of it, it comes back in another way. And it's just always kind of there. But understanding that you are playing a role, I really love the analogy of that this is all a big play and you're playing a role. So even the person you're being, the position you have and the opinions you have and all of that, just look at that as a character in a story, and that just happens to be the role. And part of it was given to you and part of it you've chosen, and to varying degrees for everybody. But understand that it's just a role. That isn't actually you. You're actually an actor or a performer almost outside of that role, who's just choosing to decide to position yourself in this character. And so somebody who's an antagonist, instead of looking at them as the antagonist, look at them as, hey, you're playing that role really well. But I know that deep down, you're actually this actor that's playing that role in a way. And I think that's a great creative approach to a lot of this stuff, because we take it less personally. Something I'm trying to do. There are things that piss me off. I'll admit it. I think everybody has things that just get you a little bit. You're like, it fucking got me. But I posted something on Marketplace to sell. I've had a lot of interest in it. And then someone wrote me the other day and they're like, by the way, I just thought I'd let you know your pictures are gay. I was like, at first I was baffled that someone even wrote that. I was just like, what? And then there's this part of me that was like, you know what? Fuck you, man. I was like, fuck you for even writing me that toxic troll shit. And then I was just like, maybe I should tell him off. And then I was like, no, I don't give a shit. And then I was just like laughing about it. I'm like, that's so funny. that's like so 1990s. That's just like, what a fucking ridiculous, I don't even care. It's not even take it personally. I don't even fucking, what do I give a shit? I'm going to sell all this stuff anyway. Why do I care that someone's writing me this? But getting ultimately to the position of laughing at it is the fucking best place, honestly. So I don't know if I have any way to kind of wrap up this whole conversation, but I would say whenever in doubt, the best strategy is humor. That's all I can say. I mean, honestly, if you're angry about something, just always try to direct yourself. Why is this hilarious? Try and find out why it's funny, because it is so funny. The fact that any of us do any of this shit is just so fucking hilarious. It's just so inconsequential to me that this guy thinks my pictures are gay. It's so fucking funny. It's just what are we in high school? What the fuck do I care? You know what I mean? I just don't, you know, and now the fact that I'm laughing at it, I'm laughing at the fact that I was even angry about it for a second. I think that's funny too. I'm like, what the fuck was that about? That's where I think fighting is such an early stage in your journey of maturity. It's an immature stage. So if you're angry about something, you're in an immature stage, I would argue. And I would argue that a mature stage is laughing at everything, because you just realize, I'm just an actor playing a part, and people think gay is a fucking insult, and I don't think it is, and I don't even give a shit, and I'm not, but whatever. Who the fuck cares if someone is or isn't or whatever, or if a picture does look gay? I just think it's fucking... What does that even mean? Exactly. I don't even know what that means. And that's the fucking hilarious thing about it all. So anyway, maybe we leave on a lighter note, and that's it.
Thank you for listening in on our conversation today. We hope you found something helpful that you can carry forward with you. Head over to our website, wayoftheartist.com, for more free exclusive material and learn about the show. If you haven't already, please support us by subscribing to the show, sharing it with people you know, and keeping compassionate, creative conversation going.